Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Are you doing all right?
Yes, computer's back, sound is back. Clicked it on, and guess who came up? You won't believe it. Oh, it was Rabbi Zadok on the Sefirah Lesson 64. I'm telling you, it came on as mysteriously as it went off. I'm tired, you know, so, oh well.
Are you enjoying his series? Because I only heard the first few.
I actually haven't watched his series. That's what was the surprising part. I didn't have sound yesterday, and so I went to YouTube because I could get your recording. Your recording would play, but I couldn't get any sound from Tony was looking up how to clean jets in your bathtub. And so I guess that's why, you know, I thought, well, let me go to that because that's what he was looking up. And so I typed in YouTube. And I just clicked on, you know, the first YouTube that it said, you know, because there was YouTube TV, there was YouTube Music, you know. So I just clicked on YouTube, and that came from Rabbi Zadok. Well, so I'm going to go look up 64. I think it means judge, but unless that was one of my numbers one time. And then I just let it play. And the next one that came on was Rabbi Greenbaum doing the Honorable Co-op from 2013.
Marco.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you doing well?
Yes, I'm playing with my grandkids, so having fun.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
So, I guess,
are you in Dallas or are you in Denton with your grandchildren?
I'm in Dallas. My oldest granddaughter graduates tomorrow from high school, so came up here for.
All right. Okay.
A lot of good things going on. So let us continue our study. Well, hold on a second. Come in.
How are you? Thank you.
Brandela.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry for the delay.
That's okay. No problem.
I have to send a text very quickly.
Okay, take your time.
Okay. So we are, I believe, in verse 169, correct?
I think so.
Okay, so this is the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. Parashat Vayera, section 12, Pasuk 169. And I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bit kilu urkimu ud kilu ud kilu urkim. Leachta Lashem yud he bavavhe. The Yehud ashalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohinu alenam. Tzedaka, ta'avad begin, tivkol shata, tzake barna, hake hakil, aleya le'ela ve'afilu v'shata, tzedina sharya, alo kutshabarihu. Id karleya lahahu tivu Piavad vizaka im b'nei nasha Kedavar acher utsadaka tatil Mimavet begineka Takdim leya uchabarihu Leavraham Begin the Yisrei, we shezaev the lot. The translation. In the same manner, when harsh judgment hangs over the world, the Holy One, blessed be He, remembers the charitable deeds that men perform. Every time a person performs a meritorious action, it is noted above. Therefore, even when there is harsh judgment on the world, the Holy One, blessed be He, remembers the good that a person has done and has merited through other people. As it is written, but charity, righteousness, delivers from death. It's a verse from Proverbs. According to this, the Holy One, blessed be He, arranged in advance that opportunity for Abraham to perform a meritorious act, so that by his merit, Lot would be saved. My commentary, why does this pasuk seem to be duplicate information? Is it related to upper and lower levels, or is it related to general and specific? Questions, comments, thoughts.
I thought I always took doing the mitzvah my own, at my own suggestion. I don't think I took it into account that it was Hashem putting the opportunity before you even have the thought to do it.
Say that again, Father. I'm not clear on it.
Well, I always thought just knowing the principle of doing a mitzvah was basically coming from your own self. I don't think I thought of it as Hashem putting the opportunity in your path before you even had the idea of doing the mitzvah, because it was sort of the purpose of bringing sweetened judgment, whether it's on you personally or the world. According to this, it's over the world.
I think you kind of made...
Go ahead, Brandy.
I think it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If God knows that the world deserves a judgment, then he's going to put out opportunities not just for one person, but for many people to do a mitzvah to offset that judgment. It just makes sense.
Well, I always associated that with a group being in unity, you know. So, but I don't know. I just didn't think ahead what Hashem was doing.
Let me even add to what Asana is saying in a different perspective, because we are so inured to using the word tzedakah. So you get a request from a large charitable organization in the mail, and they present a picture of starving children or sick children or the good work that they do, and they speak to your heart, and you write a check. Is that tzedakah or is that truma? And the question that I'm asking does not occur to people because our leadership, rabbis, have always spoken in terms of tzedakah. But in order for it to be tzedakah, that organization or whomever you are connecting to has to be a truly poor person. And this is, we're being taught here, and I think this is one of the reasons that the information is being duplicated, that it is speaking of tzedakah, because tzedakah saves you from luck, God forbid. And that understanding is what needs to enter our consciousness. Yes, God is providing the opportunity because he's providing you with that truly poor person. The prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah knows that the temple is going to be destroyed. His life is about prophesying about the destruction, trying to awaken the people to do teshuvah. He knows this. And so one of his prophecies is, Hashem, please send us a truly poor person so that we can avoid the decree. But we didn't have the merit for Hashem to send the truly poor person. And the temple was destroyed. That's my deeper, to me it's a deeper understanding of what this verse was saying and why it's duplicating the information from the previous level. The previous level is truma. And, you know, you walk into a store and there's a homeless person sitting there and you give a dollar. You've done some good deed. You've given truma. You've helped that person. But is that person a truly poor person because he's homeless? Does he know that his food, his needs are going to be met and by Hashem? And he doesn't really care what you put in his palm because he knows someone will put his in his palm because Hashem will send that someone? This is living the concept of truma. This is living and understanding the difference. You really have to ask for someone to make that presentation, to give you that opportunity to come into your life. Most of the people on my calls do not go to Minions daily. And it's not because you're women, but it's all part of the process. But if you go to a daily Minion, as soon as the prayers are over and you start to do the study, there's 3, 4, 5, 6 homeless people circulating in the Minion. Because in 20 minutes, they can get significant amount of dollar bills or more. In the charity system that is built up or in the Orthodox world, out-of-town people have drivers who say, we're going to this Minion for this time and another Minion for another time, sometimes in the same shul, sometimes in a different shul, all because the timing of when you get to the Minion is when they're finishing and when before the people leave to go to work. Are you a truly poor person, or are they you soliciting for truma? This is a very significant teaching in our basic classes, but it's not something that people take away from the basic class. And I think this is the reinforcement of that teaching. Should I go on, or? Verse 170. Misham Haanashim Mehahio Sudati Atkin Lon Abraham Uska Baho Afal Gav de Malakin Awo Zikabaho Wakal Hahu Mehla Ishtar Inea Kalum Begine di Abraham Umizke Beya Deha Ketivayo Kalu Beesha Dilko Itakel. The translation, come and see. And the men rose up from there and looked towards Sodom. They rose from the meal that Abraham prepared for them, thereby performing a meritorious act. And even though they were angels who do not need a meal, he nevertheless attained merit because of them. And they purposely left no food over from the meal, so that Abraham would attain merit through the act, as it is written, and they did eat. As by their fire, the food was eaten and consumed. My commentary. The angels used an internal fire to destroy the food that it appeared as if they had eaten the food. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I don't know, if you look at it, it looked like the angels were repaying kindness with kindness. Abraham showed them kindness, and in return they showed him kindness.
Well, do you think the angels were aware that they were sent to Abraham in order to provide him with this opportunity to do tzedakah?
Yes.
Why would you think that? I'm not questioning that it's a possibility, but what would make you think that?
Because they had a mission to perform, and
yes,
that was part of their...
They do one thing at a time.
That's right.
And there were three of them. So they were sent to heal. One was sent to heal Abraham from the Brits.
Right.
One was sent to inform about Isaac. And one was sent to destroy
Sodom.
And only two left Abraham to go to Sodom. The other one went back up the ladder. And so which two went to Sodom? Gabriel went to Sodom to destroy it. And Uriel, I think it was Raphael, went to save Lot. But Raphael went to heal Abraham first. So he had two missions, but only one at a time. So it's very easy to say that they knew that they were giving Abraham the opportunity, but how can we, by reading and understanding the story, how can we know that that's a true statement? Well, why would it be necessary for Hashem to inform the angels? They weren't giving him the opportunity, just like a truly poor person doesn't give the person the truly poor person brings the opportunity to the person. But the truly poor person, that's his consciousness. He knows Hashem will provide for him. He doesn't know that it's to this person. They didn't know it was that they were bringing a merit to Abraham. We could argue it both ways. This is how we need to read the Torah, as I'm trying to explain.
I took a different perspective. I know that we've learned in previous verses that it was the fire from, I'm going to call it, the internal aspect of the angel that had consumed or burned up the food. But I think if we hadn't had the Zohar, we wouldn't know that that was a characteristic of an angel, that they don't need to eat. And that the idea that the fire within is what consumed the food.
Well, actually, the Talmud does say that the angel does only one task at a time. So we get the information at various sources.
Well,
but
I understood that, but it was the idea about they don't need to eat, but if it appears that they're eating, the fire of their essence burns up the food. I think without the Zohar, we wouldn't have known that. We've heard it before because we've read different sources within the Zohar about it. Not a whole lot, but I do remember reading about it. But that was what I saw, rather than the poor people or, the other side of the coin that you and Brandy were talking about.
It's understandable. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're like,
we're out of rhythm. And,
several years ago,
7 o'clock.
Can I say something on a lighter note?
Sure.
This is really, all of this is inferior. Is that why men can only do one thing at a time?
What's the question?
I said, is that if angels can only do one thing at a time, is that why
yes.
men can only do one thing at a time?
No, it's because women require the need to do multitasking.
It was so funny.
But it's very cute.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Good evening. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.